The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Buddy Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Very full hour as usual on the Buckmaster Show. Ray and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Today being St. Valentine's Day, Wednesday, February 14th, 2018. It's also the 106th anniversary of Statehood Day for Arizona. And for many in the Christian world, this is Ash Wednesday, which signals basically Lent, beginning of Lent, and you can look for Easter in about 46 days, something like that. So we are now into the Lenten season, and we are coming to you from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, with our live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. You know, we've got podcasts always available for you, and pretty much every show we have done since we launched the radio project the first week in January in 2011. So that's all available for you on your schedule 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. During the first half hour, we'll be talking with the superintendent of Arizona's second largest school district and the largest school district certainly here in Southern Arizona, Tucson Unified School District, coming up at 12:30. Cybersecurity expert Kathy Winger will join us, a Tucson attorney who specializes in cyber issues. So that's coming up. If you'd like to join us, 790-2040 for your calls and questions. Tucson Unified School District, the board last night voting 4-1 to move forward with programs to improve several schools, but rejected a plan to change the boundaries of Tucson, Catalina, Rincon, and Palo Verde High Schools. Let's welcome now to the Buckmaster Show. He is on the Buckmaster Show live line. He'll be with us in the studio momentarily, I hope. Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. Dr. Trujillo, thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon, Bill. Happy Valentine's Day. Happy 106th birthday to our great state. And
yep,
to all of my Christian and Catholic brothers and sisters, happy Ash Wednesday.
Yeah, it's a very important day, to say the least. How did the meeting go last night from your point of view as far as moving forward with some of these programs that you have articulated with us in the past in some of your visits?
I think the meeting was a fantastic success. From our point of view, we have to shock the system, Bill. We are in a do-or-die situation, not only with our high schools, but with this school district, in terms of being able to field a superior product, to be able to emerge as the parents' number one choice, in this case, for 912 education. So last night, the centerpiece of our high school improvement initiative was a new vision for Santa Rita High School, a CTE, a College and Career Readiness Academy, along with some evening school and extended learning opportunity sessions for kids, AVID school-wide at Catalina. And as you mentioned, part of that, in an attempt to shock the system, was trying to do things a little bit differently, trying to build two schools, increase enrollment at another premier program at University High School, and the board saw it differently with that particular piece of our puzzle. But we are very, very happy and appreciative of our governing board of moving forward on all those other comprehensive improvement pieces.
Well, this is what you had talked about. You alluded to this in your visit with us before the holidays in December. You said that there needs to be, as you're saying right now, a shock to the system to turn this often troubled school district that you had around. Is that correct?
That's exactly correct, Bill. And, you know, what I really want to communicate to the community is I'm not doing anything that I didn't tell you that I was going to do when I was auditioning for this job. When we were going through the community forums, I very clearly told the audience and our community and our stakeholders there will be a dramatic expansion of CTE programming in this district. We will become a district that is known for servicing all aspects of our student body, including those that are struggling. We will become a school district of high schools that will replicate the very programs at these charter schools that are taking our students. And those programs deal primarily with credit recovery opportunities, particularly for your 10th, 11th, and 12th grade kids. So that shock to the system is doing things differently. It is creating the very programs and structures that are our very competition. It's thinking outside the box with regard to how we utilize buildings right now that are under-enrolled and how we address situations with crowding like we see at UHS and at Rincon.
Well, you brought up Santa Rita High School, and this proposal came out of left field for many people, caught many people surprise by State Representative Todd Klodfelter, a Republican from Tucson, that would force your school district, Dr. Trujillo, TUSD, to hand over Santa Rita High School to the Vail District. Apparently, from what you quoted in Tim Steller of the Stars column today, this caught you by surprise, and it also caught Calvin Baker by surprise, the head of Vail School District.
Yeah, I think it caught us all by surprise. And first of all, hats off to Vail. Cal Baker, he's been in this business a long time. He's one of the premier educational leaders in our state. Class Act 100% of the way. Vail is an amazing school district. It is an amazing choice for parents. But Vail isn't in the city of Tucson. And, you know, our commitment, our service, our passion is for educating the citizens, or the children of the citizens of the city of Tucson. And so I think it caught us all off guard. Mr. Baker and I certainly have never had any formal discussions or any discussions about Santa Rita. So I think it did catch everybody out of left field. And we, of course, have serious concerns about this bill moving forward.
All right. I think you are just about at the KVOI studios, so this would be a good time for us to take a break right here. And when we come back, you'll be with me in studio. How's that sound?
That sounds like a plan, Bill.
All right. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show, the Valentine's Day edition of Buckmaster, Statehood edition, and Ash Wednesday, all combined on the 14th of February, 2018. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours.
The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday, we talk with the new statewide chairwoman of the Democratic Party. She's former Arizona Attorney General candidate Felicia Rotellini. Also, the new programs Under the Glass at Biosphere 2. Buckmaster, during the noon hour Thursday on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice. The Buckmaster Show on this Wednesday, 790-2040. If you have any questions or comments for the superintendent of TUSD, who is now with us in studio, Dr. Trujillo, good to see you on this Valentine's Day. How you doing?
Doing well. I'm doing well, and thank you for having me again. It's always great to be back in studio.
Well, we try to put you on the air now every couple of months to give us an update, and there certainly was a lot of news out of that meeting. For folks that just joining us, the vote was 4-1 last night, and really, as you've called it, a shock to the system. The 4-1 vote to move forward with some programs to improve several schools. We talked a little bit in the first segment about a new initiative that includes expanding the Santa Rita High School College and Career Academy and basically starting up, making this, really turning the whole mission of that school around, right?
Yeah, and I've said this numerous times to numerous stakeholders, and I say it in a realistic and in a supportive and almost a visionary way. Santa Rita High School is no longer going to compete on the east side as a traditional public high school.
Those days are gone.
Those days are gone. But what Santa Rita can be is something uniquely special that the east side of Tucson has never seen, that the Tucson Unified School District has never seen, similar to the Metro Tech CTE Academy for Phoenix Union.
Which has been so successful what is, up
which
there.
Has been a smashing success, and the parallels are eerily similar. Metro Tech used to be East High in the Phoenix Union system in the early and mid-80s. It, too, was suffering from low enrollment. It, too, was on the cusp of closure. It, too, struggled with the perception that it had a lot of disciplinary issues. And it became a CTE vision of excellence that continues to this day. So we believe that we will be giving the residents of not only the East Side but also the Tucson Unified community access to exceptional CTE programming that can be a game changer for kids.
How about Catalina High School? What's going to happen with that school?
As part of our initiative to revitalize and refresh and really put a jolt of innovation into our high schools.
Reset.
And reset. We want to bring in a program at Catalina that has been renowned for closing the achievement gap across this country since the 70s. And that program is AVID, Achievement Via Individual Determination. It is a framework of teaching and learning and decision making and study skills that teachers get trained on that's targeted at students in the middle. It is a program built for what I call the forgotten demographic, because a lot of school systems are amazingly efficient at rendering service to the top 20% elite, the elite academically achieving students. And a lot of districts like Tucson Unified are also really, really good at wrapping around students that are experiencing trauma and are struggling.
But about the kids in the middle?
It's the kids in the middle, Bill. And if we don't aggressively push in a rigorous way those C-level students, we will never convert them to A-level students of excellence. And that's where AVID comes in, and being able to go AVID school-wide at Catalina will make it a very, very desired option for parents and for kids. We're also looking at making Catalina one of our evening school extended learning opportunity hubs for what I call the Catalina Corridor. The students of that Catalina Corridor that are in need of credit recovery, whether they are at Catalina High School or they're at Rincon, being able to attend afternoon sessions to make up credits, to get caught up and to remain in the Tucson Unified School District instead of feeling that they've failed a few classes, they're behind on a few credits, and it's off to a charter school that I go because this current system doesn't offer me extended day learning opportunities.
In your visit in December, we were mentioning the $4.5 million deficit that the district was facing and the budget cuts that really have to be made immediately. Have you decided now where that money, Dr. Trujillo, how you're going to make up that money?
We do. We've been working collaboratively with our employee leaders and our employee associations. We have a guiding philosophy here when it comes to cost reductions and cost savings and cost savings generation. We protect the classroom at all costs. And so we are making up this gap largely by reductions in administrative spending at the district office level in every single major division of operation, whether it's IT, food service, technology services, operations, transportation. So we feel like we're going to be able to bring forth enough district-level cost reductions that for the second straight year, we won't have to be impacting the schools. This isn't the preferred method. The preferred method is to see hundreds of students flowing back into the district so we're not in this situation again next year.
So the teaching situation, the classroom situation, there had been a lot of, I don't know, you had several hundred vacancies still. And had to be filled with teaching substitutes. Where is that picture looking? How is the picture looking right now?
Well, we're looking at a couple of different scenarios, okay? So first of all, key to everything is being able to bring contracts for teachers forward earlier, and very appreciative of our governing board last night honoring that and having the teachers have contracts issued right around Valentine's Day puts us in a position of knowing by March 1st how many resignations and retirements we're going to have for next year. Half the battle, Bill, of filling vacancies is knowing what's coming at you. And when you get your contracts out late and you find out later on in the school year teachers are retiring or resigning,
this is going to help the flow chart.
It hits your recruitment season,
yeah,
right? So that's really, really big. We're looking at some systems overhaul in human resources that I'll talk about in my next presentation to the governing board, part three of my presentation about moving TUSD forward in the realm of human resources and personnel management.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about Mexican-American studies. This remains a very contentious issue among some here in the community, and those that were hoping that the board would kind of rubber stamp what a federal judge had said. That vote was a 3-2 vote not to necessarily endorse what the judge had said. Where does that stand right now? And I realize you don't have a vote on the board, but you are the superintendent. So where does this play right now?
Well, I've said publicly in several meetings at this point, and it remains the case today on Valentine's Day. This is just simply a curricular revision issue. Our CR teachers, our culturally responsive and our culturally relevant teaching core that serve almost 6,000 students across this district in different CR courses in English language arts and social studies, they are always free on a yearly basis to revise the curriculum with any additional concepts, performance objectives, curricular resources that they want. Part of that curricular revision process is to bring it back before the board. So that hasn't changed. That process has been around as long as I've been here in the Tucson Unified Community. So our CR team knows exactly what it needs to do if it wants to revise the curriculum, if it wants to add in additional books, additional curricular resources. We can set a timeline for that coming back to the board. And the board reviews curricular revisions, whether it's CR, science, math, language arts. One of the biggest functions of the board is to approve curriculum and courses.
Gabriel Trujillo is with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're talking about the future of Tucson Unified and how it will be moving forward. And Dr. Trujillo really trying to shake things up, a reset, a shock to the system, as he calls it. A lot of that was kind of rolled out last night. And by a 4-1 vote, the board seems to be on board with what Dr. Trujillo is planning. All of this hopefully will translate, these changes that are being proposed, will translate into more children, young adults, coming into Tucson Unified.
That's the hope. And we've seen now through a series of three presentations, we're going to change the way we lead. We're going to move more towards a regional approach to servicing schools and communities through regional assistant superintendents. We saw what we're doing with enrollment in terms of starting to operate more like groups of feeder school patterns and changing the way that we market instead of our schools and instead of our communications department marketing that four-letter word, TUSD, which evokes a lot of frustration and evokes a lot of bad perceptions. It's a whole different thing to have our communications department work with each individual school and have each individual school tell its story. Because if I'm a taxpayer and I'm a parent and TUSD is sending me TUSD literature, I may have a negative perception.
It may go in the wastebasket.
It may go in the wastebasket. But if my next door neighbor, Mr. Yep. Bill Buckmaster,
gets something that says Tucson Unified.
Get something that says Tucson Unified or tells me about how amazing Mansfield Middle School is because that's where his son goes, I might be all in. So I think we'd have to do a massive shift to telling the story of our individual schools because the same parent and taxpayer that is wildly crazy and supportive of their local neighborhood school may not necessarily be as wild and crazily supportive of TUSD, the district at large.
When will the branding begin?
We have our communications team right now meeting with each individual school, putting together each individual school's marketing and recruitment plans, customized videos for their websites, colorful flyers for mailouts, recruitment events at the school. We know very clearly we have to win the battle at kindergarten, at sixth grade, and at freshman year. Those are the three times in a child's life that parents make crucial decisions about where they send their sons and daughters to school.
How about safety right now?
Safety is always a concern, and we will be heading into fairly intensive processes right now that include a collaborative process with our desegregation colleagues with regard to the revision of the Guideline for Student Rights and Responsibilities, the GSRR. And so revision efforts will focus on not only content, in terms of trying to come back to the table about content, specific consequences, specific infractions that warrant certain levels of consequences, but then also format. We've received a lot of feedback, not just from our governing board, but from parents and from students and from teachers, that it is a very labor-intensive document, it's not very user-friendly, and it's quite confusing. And that is a huge priority for our team coming out of this spring, is to be able to put a revised document back before the board before the end of the school year.
Wouldn't it be nice to have that on one page, one page
this document and you could put it up at every school.
Absolutely.
Have one page.
It needs to be clear and concise. And
I don't know what you'd call it, a student or teacher's bill of rights or whatever. I mean, a protection bill of rights. Anything that it gets away from, like, as you say, it was like a massive volume that nobody really was able to get through.
Yeah, it's very voluminous and it's text rich. I mean, yeah. There's no graphics, not a lot of flow charts. So we've got a lot of work ahead of us.
All right. Gabriel Trujillo rolling out something that he said he would do here on the program in December. And now really your next part is coming up very soon, right?
Yes.
When will that be? Within a month or so?
Yeah, we're probably looking at part three of
part
the presentation,
three.
Which deals with the systems overhaul in human resources and the different way in which we're shoring up hiring processes, different ways we're thinking of configuring stipends for hard-to-fill positions. That one is going to be coming up. It's going to be either the second meeting in March or the first one in April.
All right. When you return within a couple of months, you can tell us all about that and give us an update. Dr. Trujillo, I appreciate you coming by. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot. Coming up, cybersecurity. What a huge issue. Attorney Kathy Winger joins us. Get your questions ready, 790-2040. We'll be right back. It's exactly 12:30. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell, with a varied and extensive menu including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven. Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily, with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Indian Twist, Swan and Camp Lowell, and IndianTwistAZ.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes a terrific getaway, not just for the weekend, but why not a midweek getaway? 3-hour drive east of Tucson. Silver City, a historic town known for its vibrant arts community. They've really done a beautiful job restoring the downtown area. Some beautiful art galleries, historic buildings, some fine dining. It really all comes together, and it's a nice, pleasant getaway. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find the complete listing of great places to stay and the many recreation opportunities in Silver City. It's our pleasure to welcome back Kathy Winger to the program. Kathy is a business, corporate, real estate, banking, and data security attorney here in Tucson. She is a solo practitioner who represents businesses and individuals in commercial, corporate, and real estate transactions. She frequently speaks to local, state, and national business and technology professionals about cybersecurity, and that certainly will be our topic today. She's been on this program before talking about it, and I felt it was time to bring her back. Hello, Kathy. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, Bill.
There was a story CNN had last month, and it was by this guy from Harvard Kennedy School of Business, Bruce Schneider, who says the security of pretty much every computer on the planet has just gotten a lot worse. And the only real solution, which of course is not a solution, is to throw them all away and buy new ones that may be available in a few years. In other words, hey, what are you going to do? And this is about something called microprocessors. I'm not real sure what this is all about, but just from this article, it sounded pretty scary to me.
It is pretty scary, and unfortunately, it was scary to me as well. And I view things more from a legal perspective than technical, so I'm not going to be able to explain exactly how microprocessors work and what this means. But from what I've read about it and what I've heard about it, it has to do with the internal operations of a computer. And these days, when we say computers, we don't just mean the what's sitting on your desk. We mean your phone. We mean your tablet. There are just so many different computers, and these vulnerabilities are built into all of them, mm-hmm. and they affect the operating system. I can't tell you how they affect the operating system, but what I can tell you is that if they're exploited, and when I say exploited, what I mean is a wrongful actor uses them for a wrongful purpose. If they're exploited, they can go from one app to another or one program to another. So the example that I read that made sense to me was you have your phone, and let's say you have Facebook on your phone, and let's say you also have the app from your bank on your phone,
right.
And you check your bank accounts using your phone. You can have Facebook open, and somehow that vulnerability can be exploited so that the bad actor can get into your app with all your banking information. And the same would hold true for your computer. larger when you have more than one program open. So not surprisingly, it is very disturbing. And I agree with you. Mm-hmm. When I first started reading about this and hearing about this, the advice that was given from advisory agencies was, well, you just have to throw everything out.
Well, I don't want to do that.
No.
And the listener doesn't want to get into all that yet because, supposedly there's going to be a patch that's already that Microsoft and others are working on.
Absolutely. Yeah. They are. I don't want to do it either. And yeah. I will tell you that the professionals who originally said that have dialed it back a little bit, which was nice news for me to hear. And they're saying, you know, what you need to do is implement any patches that you get whenever you get them. Now, apparently patching this is a little bit more difficult than your typical situation because it involves a bunch of different companies. And so there has to be coordination. And so some people question as to whether it could ever even be patched or not. So that's a question that's out there. But I looked at it and thought about it in the context of, you know, what I typically focus on, which is I'm a business owner. What do I need to do in terms of cybersecurity? And I'm a consumer, you know, and I use my phone. I use my computer for everything. So what steps that do I need to take to be safe? And one of the things that made me feel a little bit better about these vulnerabilities was what the experts say you should do if you're a business owner, if you're a consumer, if cybersecurity is an issue for you, which these days it is for everybody, is engage in the same type of behavior that you should be engaging in anyway.
Which
and
is?
Safe cybersecurity practices. So the things we hear all about, don't open an attachment to an email from a source that you don't know or trust. One of the things they talk about is don't visit sketchy websites. I'm personally not sure how you define sketchy websites, but be careful.
Well, it's often referred to, Kathy, as clickbait.
Exactly.
Stuff that you'll see on Facebook. And I have fallen into that trap on occasion, but believe me, I'm a lot more cautious now because when I did fall into it, something came up on my screen saying that, you know, you've been hacked. And actually, we had Suzanne Miller from the Better Business Bureau on the show yesterday talking about the screen, there'll be a shot on your screen. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, call Microsoft, but it's not really Microsoft.
Right. And they are.
And some guy in Green Valley, he was 90, I think Suzanne said he was like 92 or 93. He got taken for like $60,000.
Well, and actually $60,000 isn't that large an amount when you look at what's happening and what they're doing. The acts that they're performing and the money that they're stealing can be much larger than that. And it is. And I will tell you, you know, I somewhat live, you know, breathe, drink, and eat this stuff. And I've come close to clicking on attachments.
Right.
They look so genuine.
I know.
And they can just be so deceptive. They have ways to get into your address book and make it look like it comes from someone you know. So I could have an email from Bill Buckmaster.
From the office.
That's right. Or the IRS is a big one this time of year. There's scams out with that. So those are things we should be doing anyway. And these vulnerabilities and the discovery of them doesn't change that. And there were a couple quotes that I wanted to point mm-hmm. out, sort of two sides
sure.
of the coin. I'll start with the bad side of the coin. Quotes about these vulnerabilities, experts in the area who have talked about them have said that this is just the tip of the iceberg and that there are more of these that are yet to come and they'll be worse,
ew.
Which didn't make me feel too good.
Mm-mm.
Then I saw a quote from someone else who said, when you consider, as a regular person or as a business, when you consider all of the other risks that are out there, this risk is really just noise.
Mm-hmm.
There are far bigger risks and there are more things that you can do to address those risks. This really was sort of a non-issue at this point for people like us if we're engaging in those safe practices.
Malware, that's so scary.
It is. It's scary and a type of that is ransomware. Where, you know, ma- malware, for those who don't know, it's just malicious software. So it's software that gets into your system and can act in a malicious fashion, which a malicious fashion, excuse me, it is going to cause problems for you, cause you difficulties. A subset of that is ransomware, and that's where a piece of malware or an item of malware can get into your system, and it can take your information, and it can hold it for ransom, just like a regular kidnapping. That's why it's named ransomware. And typically, demands are made to pay for the information, and a lot of times they want it to be paid in Bitcoin because you can't trace that.
Really?
So, in terms of how you address it, it becomes an issue.
What would a business do if they got hit by this?
Well, I will tell you what I hope that they would do, because what I and everyone that I know in the security, computer security industry advises businesses and individuals to do is to back up your information. So what a business would do that followed that advice would be to not have to pay the ransom, because that business would have its information. So the ransomware basically becomes meaningless, and it's of no value to the criminal who's using it. The question is getting your information. If you're backing up your information and someone takes it, if you've got the backup, then you don't have to pay Bitcoin or cash or anything, because you have the information and it's backed up. So that would be the hope. Mm-hmm. A side issue with that, and I will tell you, in the cybersecurity community and in the legal area that pertains to this, ransomware and what happens with ransomware and malware is a big issue. And one of the issues with ransomware that's sort of just bubbling below the surface, but coming to the surface in the from a legal perspective, is it's great if you have your information backed up, so you don't have to pay ransom to get your information back. But if it's protected information, if it's social security numbers, if it's health information, and a third party has obtained that information, under most state statutes, that's the definition of a data breach. Ooh. So then the question comes up, what kind of notification do you have to do? It opens a whole box of issues. So that's really, those pronouncements are coming out from courts and regulators, and it's really sort of something that people are looking at. How do you address that side of it?
It's a very fluid situation.
Absolutely.
We're going to talk more with attorney Kathy Winger. Kathy practices here in town. How do people get a hold of you, Kathy?
They can email me. My email address is kathy@kdwinger.com.
You're also very active on Facebook.
I am. I'm on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm also on Twitter, and I try to share as much helpful information as I can on Twitter. I'm at Kathy D. Winger.
All right. Let's have some more information after we take our break on the Buckmaster Show on this Valentine's Day and Arizona Statehood Day. Be right back.
This is Paloma Santiago with San Miguel High School. How can you help underprivileged youth in our community? An education at San Miguel is their only opportunity to escape a life destined for failure. Our students take a full college prep class while working meaningful jobs, earning nearly 40% of their school tuition. San Miguel gives hope and opens doors to the future for young men and women. You can learn more at sanmiguelcristorey.org. That's San Miguel, CRISTOREY.org.
The Humane Society of Southern Arizona is moving to 635 West Roger Road. Our new home is almost done. We'll have a pet-friendly cafe, awesomely cool cat habitats, lots of play yards for our dogs, and a state-of-the-art clinic, and much more. We're caring for your new best friend until you find them at the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. Come visit us at 635 West Roger Road this spring and fall in love all over again. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover 2 of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Welcome back. Of course, it is Valentine's Day. If you have not gotten your sweetheart something, it's not too late. Green Things is there for you. Jan and Jack, the owners, have all sorts of special, beautiful green thing arrangements. In other words, everything that is beautiful they've got over there at Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk. And on the web at greenthingsaz.com, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They do such a great job over at Green Things. And all of my roses from Green Things doing very well as they're ready to start their spring blooming. And the rain, I hope, that we're going to get will really help out. Kathy Winger is here. Kathy, a Tucson attorney who really specializes in this area that has so many of us worried, cybersecurity. Kathy, I think it's being used now as a marketing tool.
It is. And as we talked about earlier, when I talk about cybersecurity and cybersecurity concerns, it tends to be lots of negatives. You know, it makes me fearful, the risks that are out there. And when people hear more from me about the risks that are out there, they become fearful too. But one of the things that I like to talk about is cybersecurity as a marketing tool. And I've actually written an article. It's on my website, which is kdwinger.com. Everyone is welcome to go and check it out. But I've written a brief article about it. And this is a more positive slant on things. And it's positive because what I'm finding and what I'm seeing, the way things are set up in the cybersecurity area and the way they're being played out, if you follow the best practices and your cybersecurity is good, that makes you appealing as a vendor to be used by other companies, to be used by the government. Because one of the expanding areas of liability in the cybersecurity world is liability for a vendor's breach. So what the FTC has come out and said is, if you initially receive the information and you share it with a vendor, for example, a payroll processor, and the vendor has a breach, you are still responsible for that when it comes to the consumer. You can set your agreement up with the vendor so that they have to indemnify you, but you basically don't get off the hook by sharing it with a third party. So what's important to big companies and the U.S. government is that the vendors that they use have good cybersecurity practices. The FTC has come out and said, if you're using a vendor at the beginning of the relationship and throughout, you need to confirm that their cybersecurity practices are as good or better than yours. So if you have a vendor whose cybersecurity practices aren't good, they, in some instances, especially with the U.S. government, you can't use them. And so if you can establish that your practices are as good or better than what the high standard is, that's really a marketing tool. And that's a marketing tool for you as a company. And I know in the HIPAA area, this happens a lot. HIPAA is health information that's protected. And there are certain certifications that providers have to get to have vendors do work for them.
Kind of like a seal of approval.
Exactly.
In the industry.
Exactly.
Right?
And although there's no official seal of approval, the fact that your practices are good, you not only get the benefit of the safety you get from them, can be a marketing tool. I will point out one thing that I like to tell businesses to remember in this area. And I started out talking about it more with consumers when you make this representation, but this is really true when you're working as a vendor for someone. Any representation that you make about cybersecurity and that you make about information and how you handle it, you have to tell the truth and you have to handle it the way that you've said that you'll handle it. So sort of the big one that everybody knows and hears about, if you tell consumers, we don't share your information with a third party for marketing purposes.
You got to really
don't
walk the
do
talk.
It. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's the only or one of the things to think about. But I like the idea from a positive prospect of implementing these procedures, these best practices, give you protection, but you can also sort of show yourself off as it more appealing than perhaps another vendor who's not as safe as you are to the person who has to hire you, because now that person knows that you guys are tied together and they could be responsible if you're not careful with information.
You know, there's the state and there's federal legislation changing constantly in this area. So it really opens, it's kind of like a moving target right now.
Absolutely. It's a moving target. And it's an expanding target. The movement is toward touching and covering more people with legislation than fewer. So that really is the part. It's not moving to get smaller.
The whole thing that happened with the data security, as far as the data breach that affected the three major credit reporting agencies. Pretty much everybody in the country became vulnerable.
And everybody is vulnerable.
Was affected, somehow was touched.
Yeah. And that the one that you're talking, the especially large one in terms of touching everyone, was Equifax.
That one, yes.
That's right. And that's a great example. What they've determined happened with Equifax is a very simple thing. There were software patches that were recommended, and Equifax didn't implement them.
Oh, no.
That goes back to the safe practices that we talk about. That's a very basic thing. That's a very basic step. That's why what the recommendations are, if you get a patch, if you get an update, implement it. Don't ignore it. It's being sent to you for a reason. From what they can tell with Equifax, part of the reason for the breach was a failure to do that. So,
and what's their vulnerability then? What's their liability?
Well, their liability is huge, and it's going to go on for a long time. And really, there aren't numbers at this point. The numbers that represent what their exposure is aren't to the point that they will be.
It's an area that everybody, you get to the point where if everybody has suddenly become vulnerable, and basically it was like a giant hack,
right?
You feel so frustrated.
You do. And they just came out that there are even, I saw a recent report that more people have been subject of their breach than first announced. Uh-huh. And, from my perspective, my default position is my information has been breached in one way
or the
other.
I think everybody has. That's the way I feel. You shouldn't really lose sleep over that, but just be proactive.
That's correct.
Check your credit card statement as often as possible.
That's right. And I will tell you the other thing in the area that I like to tell people who are in charge of cybersecurity for their businesses, no one expects 100% security. Mm-hmm. Courts, regulators, everybody recognizes that you can take every recommended step that you should take and a breach will still occur.
It's still going to happen.
You can only take commercially reasonable steps to protect it.
All right, Kathy, again, where can people find out about you and your work?
They can email me, Kathy@kdwinger.com. They can go to my website, which is kdwinger.com, or they can call me at 391-4475.
And your number is there available on
it's on, if you go to my website, all my contact information is there as well.
And Facebook?
And Facebook, Kathy Winger.
Okay.
LinkedIn, Kathy Winger. And again, Twitter, it's Kathy D. Winger.
All right. Kathy, always a pleasure to see you. Thank you
as
very
well
much.
For me. Thank you, Bill.
Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. The two of them put together the hour this afternoon, and then Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning. The Buckmaster Show back with you at 12:04. Until then, on behalf of Ray Allen, our guest Kathy Winger, we all hope you have a great afternoon and evening. Let's hope we get some good rain.